Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
ROH goes dark, Shotzi goes heel, and Bron Breakker got his confrontation with Chucky, but couldn't outdo Ciampa's Halloween havoc. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Halloween edition of Sunday Night's Main Event. We are Canada's wrestling radio program powered by Great Lakes Beer and coming at you across the country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and we've got your weekly recap and rundown of all there is to know in the world of wrestling coming up in the next hour. But first up, I'll be joined by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to chat about Ring of Honor going dark. All the talent has been released. Rumors of the tape library up for sale. Are they true? We shall find out. Then we'll take a look back at what turned out to be the best show so far of the NXT 2.0 era, Halloween Havoc, with the host of the NXT Talk podcast, Boris Aguilar. And we'll also get a Halloween-inspired edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. All of that is to come this hour, but if this hour isn't enough, remember we deliver pro wrestling podcasts each and every day directly to your inbox for only $1 a week. All you have to do is visit us at patreon.com/SNMEradio, and you'll get reviews of Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Dynamite, and Rampage right to your podcatcher each day. That's patreon.com/SNMEradio. We'll be right back with my chat with Dave Meltzer, but in the meantime and the in-between time, let's check in with our pumpkin pals at Great Lakes Beer.
You are a bold and courageous person. West of the Humber River, there stands a brewery. Workers toil constantly there both day and night. Some say the place is haunted, but you don't believe in such myths. One dark and stormy night, a light appears at the topmost window of the brewery's fermentation cellar. You decide to investigate, only to find a bubbling copper cauldron filled with a tasty pumpkin concoction. You know not whether to share this secret or keep it to yourself. And then you discover it's bound throughout Ontario at LCBO locations in tall boy cans for just $3.25. Although the mystery is no longer a mystery, this trick is most certainly all treat. Pumpkin ale from Great Lakes Brewery, the safest and most delicious way to celebrate Halloween.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Welcome back. It is time to dive into the news of the week. And my goodness, is there a lot to talk about. A whole company this week going dark, and that is Ring of Honor. Welcoming to the show, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Dave, the announcement of ROH going dark, I guess not completely unexpected. I mean, you could tell that they were having some difficulties, and I guess this all just is dependent on what the parent company Sinclair wants here.
Well, I mean, Sinclair is having a lot of trouble with the RSNs, you know, the regional sports networks that they own. They bought them, and now they don't know what to do with them, and it's just, so that's been a problem they've had. They were hacked, and they were so messed up that they couldn't undo the hack, and also, just from, you know, Ring of Honor just couldn't make money. Like, they had their chance with Ring of Honor, I think, in 2018.
You bet they,
you know,
did.
When Ring of Honor was really hot, and they had the Young Bucks and Cody, and they had the New Japan relationship, so they could get Omega, and they could get, you know, Jay White and Okada and people like that. So they had the real chance if they wanted to go for it, and the reality is that Sinclair saw them as just cheap, you know, filler programming and nothing more, and AEW filled the spot that they could have had. And once AEW took off, it was kind of like the idea of the promotion with, like, the much better matches than WWE. It you know, AEW was that promotion, and they had the top guys. And so, like, the spot that Ring of Honor had, it really felt like they were way ahead of TNA. And now I feel they're, like, behind Impact, and the buzz wasn't there. And, you know, they went from being number two in the market to maybe, realistically, I don't even know, maybe number five or six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they had all those guaranteed contracts, and they weren't running shows, and they were the most, you know, COVID was a big part of this, too, because they were the most cautious, and they spent the most, I don't say they spent the most, but they were the most careful when it came to COVID, and by being the most careful, they ran less, and they didn't run in front of fans, and it was just a combination of a lot of things that they just lost money. And I think when it came to Sinclair trying to do a budget with all their other problems, it's like, we don't really want to do much of a budget for this anymore. And it's not really bringing a lot of money in because they don't get rights fees. They are supposed to survive based on their pay-per-view money and their network. I guess the network isn't that strong, because if it was, they would be doing better. And of course, the live shows, and they were barely doing live shows. And the last, you know, the last pay-per-view that they did, like, it was in the 2300 arena, which is, you know, I'm not saying it's an easy arena to sell out because there's so many shows there, but it's a traditional arena and it's a pay-per-view, and they did under 400 paid.
Oh, wow.
And it's just like, there was no buzz for the company. They have a lot of good wrestlers, and, you know, we'll see what happens. I figure AEW will bring in some. Except for Brody King, I don't feel anyone with WWE that maybe they'll surprise me and take on some other ones. But it's sad in the sense of, you know, it's a lot of jobs, full-time jobs for wrestlers that are lost. I mean, it's like, of all the guys they have under contract, it for sure, New Japan, AEW, WWE, you know, will not pick up all of them, even close to all of them.
So there was a rumor out there that ROH reps brokered a deal with AEW for Brody King, Jonathan Gresham, Jay Lethal.
No, 100% no on that.
Okay,
one.
Good. Wanted to get that out of the way. Yeah.
I asked Tony Khan about that as soon as that story broke, and he said there's. It sounded untrue, mm-hmm. And he said no. There's nothing. There's nothing to that, and there's nothing to the story. I mean, I know, and that was in Sports Illustrated, but there's nothing to the story of them selling the tape library. Because I talked to people with several different companies, and all of them said, you know, like they haven't approached us, and it's like, if you're not approaching WWE and you're not approaching AEW, and you've got a tape library you're trying to sell. I mean, who are you talking to? And you're not approaching Impact either. So it's like, you know, they're looking. I mean, like, it does appear Sinclair hasn't canceled the show, although who knows? You know what I mean? It's like, I wouldn't be so confident of anything, but right now I do believe that they will be like an indie, you know, like, you know, the indies that will just, you know, have a date or dates, you know, to do TV, to fill up TV and maybe do pay-per-views a couple times a year. And they'll have their guys. They won't, you know, they won't be under contract, but it'll be like PWG or Game Changer, or, you know, one of the other groups that's out there, you know, all the indies, and just, you know, Championship Wrestling from Atlanta and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and just like who they can get for those shows. And, you know, but yeah, no full-time contracts, and just kind of understanding it's going to be really tough to book, because, you know, you're not going to have guys under contract to where you can lay out long-term programs. So it's almost going to be one of those things where you, you know, the storylines may not be as good as usual, because you can't keep everyone. And if anyone gets good, they're going to be in AEW. You know, that's just the reality, or WWE. So, they're going to, you know, if they exist, they're going to exist at a very low level. I mean, there's the potential for growth or anything from Ring of Honor with the system that they're going to, it's just not there at all.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like this era of what we knew of Ring of Honor is, it's done. It's over.
It's over.
There's really nothing more than an indie organization at this point.
Yeah. They're just a name. They're going to be a nostalgia name in the sense of, you know, like a promotion that was a mainstay and historically very, very important at one, for actually for a long time. And now it's just kind of like, but you know what? That is what Ring of Honor was at first. So in a sense, but the difference is when Ring of Honor first formed, You know, there was only one big company. It was WWE. And there was a lot of good workers that were coming up, kind of like there is now. But the thing now is that these good workers coming up have so many more options. And, you know, if they go to Ring of Honor, like if Ring of Honor picks up one of those guys, anyone who really stands out, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be gone. Whereas before, you know, you could put them under contract and yeah, they may leave in 2 years, but you know, and then you got that time to replace them. And there's, you know, when you're offering contracts, you're going to get some good guys. And like now, I mean, there'll be guys on the way up. If you're really good at like, you know, just like with PWG and everything, they'll bring in these new guys that no one even knows about because someone sent them tape. And the Ring of Honor has a good scouting system. They can do that. We can get some guys on the way up, but, you know, they're going to be gone soon if they're really good.
All right, so I let's move on to other companies working together, Impact and AEW. Is there still a relationship there? They seem to have pulled back.
So there's nothing planned going forward, but that doesn't mean that there won't be anything in the future. But the last thing was... you know, Christian Cage is champion, and that's over. You know, Josh Alexander beat him, and then, you know, Moose beat Josh like 6 seconds later.
Right.
And so Christian is out of the picture. And, yeah, there's no talent going back and forth. But, you know, if, you know, somehow, whatever, you know, it's always a Tony Khan call. You know, if Tony Khan wants to do it, he'll do it. Right now, like, you know, there's nothing right now. So when people say, like, the relationship's over, for today it is, but it's not like forever it is.
Whose contract are the Good Brothers under? Are they Impact or AEW?
They're Impact.
Oh.
So they haven't been on AEW in a couple weeks. But it's like, if for whatever reason, you know, if Tony or the Young Bucks or whatever want those guys around for, you know, a program or something like that, then the thing could reopen. But yeah, that was the only one because Callis is you know, full-time AEW
yep.
now, obviously.
Yep. Earlier this week, WWE revealed all their pay-per-view dates. Many are Saturdays, which is interesting and a change from what the company's been doing for many, many years. But in particular, I think the point of interest was Labor Day weekend. Is this going to be a head-to-head weekend or a head-to-head day?
It'll be a head-to-head weekend. It may be the same day, but because it's probably going to be in either Cardiff, Wales or London... It's going to be 5 hours earlier, so the show would probably end an hour to two before the AEW All Out show begins. If they are on the same day, All Out will be on a Sunday. They may be on a Saturday, may be on a Sunday. I'm going to guess they'll be on a Sunday. That's just my guess, just based on how everything seems to happen these days. And they may announce it on a Saturday and then, like, 2 months out go, you know what, we're changing it to Sunday. But they can't change it. I mean, it'd have to be at 1 a.m. in England to go head-to-head or midnight. So they are not going to go head-to-head.
This week, WWE /NXT 2.0 presented Halloween Havoc. It was the best show since they flipped over to the new brand. I was kind of surprised with Bron Breakker not winning, were you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I understand why they did it this way. I actually think it's better. I always think when it comes to, like, a young wrestler on the way up, to me, I think that the best thing is for the fans to want to see the title change before you give it to them. Like, they want it, you stretch it out, and then you give it to them. And it was too early in the game to do that. Like, the other thing is, like, we're just going to make a superstar right now. We're going to give him the title right now, and that's what people expected. But when they didn't, when they booked the match to make you want him to win, and then they took it away from you, which I, you know, when I saw it, and it surprised me, I liked it because, like, I think this is probably the better way because you don't want that resentment of, oh, he's your handpicked guy, even though he is your handpicked guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, he's got the guy's got a lot of charisma, and you know, for as little a time. I mean, he's probably had, what, 5 pro matches, and he's only been there. Well, he's been there on and off for a while before they announced his signing. He actually had been there for a while because I had heard a lot of good things about him, like, you know, the potential and just how hard of a worker he is. And obviously I knew from college, you know, I mean, I knew about him as a college football player. I mean, I knew he was a great athlete. And so you've got, you know, that's a good sign of things, you know, for him. And, you know, people kind of know they do everything to tell you he's Rick Steiner's son, and why they don't tell you is like one of those mind-boggling things, one of the most mind-boggling things in the world. But they dress him like him. They had him talk to Chucky like Rick Steiner did on a promo in WCW 100 years ago. And they call him a gremlin, but they never mention that he comes from a pretty darn famous wrestling family, and his dad was a pretty big star.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk about AJ Styles. He was not on Raw this past week. Is it an injury? Do we know what's going on?
I don't know what's going on. I presume it's an injury. AJ and Omos were supposed to wrestle Randy Orton and Matt Riddle, and right. That had been advertised all week. And then the show comes, and it's very clear Omos was there and AJ was not, and they did that three-way to get a championship match instead. So, I don't know if it's I'll ask around, but the fact that nobody says anything tells, it's probably an injury. The reason I say that is because AJ had COVID a year ago, so I don't think it's COVID. So those are your two options, unless maybe there was something in his personal life that we don't know about. But, guys like that usually don't miss dates. You know, like that, even if something bad happens, they're going to go to work for that one day. So, I figure that, it's probably an injury, but I don't know what it was.
And finally, Dave, my inbox is being littered with people asking me what is up with Charlotte. As a follow-up to what we talked about last week, she came out on SmackDown, cut a promo on the locker room. Status of Charlotte in WWE?
She was on the show, so I think that's your answer. You know, like if they were going to suspend her, she wouldn't have been on the show. And they need her. Fox wants her. They certainly don't want her going to AEW, and so they had a decision to make, and I have not heard of any fine or anything like that, so I think she's good. You know, they need her for that women. I mean, they don't need anybody, but the women's division on the SmackDown side is really two people, even if they're trying to, push a few of them up there. But they have two key people, and one is one too many, having one makes it even worse, so... That was the decision they made.
All right, Dave, that's awesome for this week. Before we go, let's talk about the Observer. You got a couple things going on that are up there right now that are pretty great. First of all, John Moxley, an interview, and then talking about Dark Side of the Ring, yourself and Wade Keller together. This is an interesting podcast you have up.
You know, I think that the podcast with Wade Keller was really good. We went back to the Vince McMahon trial. And he was there every day, and I was there I got there a couple days late, okay? But we talked a lot about our background together because, it's been so many years. I've known him for decades, but we have never... We did actually do something at StarCast, which I actually asked to do. Mm-hmm. And then this one was actually somebody on Twitter on Friday after Dark Side goes, wouldn't it be great for you to have Wade Keller on? And I was like, as soon as I saw the thing, it's like, that's a great idea. So I contacted him, and he agreed to do it. So we talked for 2 hours, and I thought it was really good. The Moxley thing is one of the most unique wrestling interviews you will ever hear because it was just, John Moxley was John Moxley, and he is in the middle of a move, and he's got a baby girl, and he's, in the middle of a change in wrestling, which he alluded to but wouldn't say because he doesn't want to give it away, but I think the people can figure it out because he's probably wrestling Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson on the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And he's got a book coming out, which is a very unique book. It's like, it's different from any wrestling book you've ever seen. It's just kind of like his stream of conscious thoughts about all these different things, about marriage, about his father, about going to Japan, about going to AEW, about... a program with Mick Foley that never happened and why he's so grateful it didn't, even though at the time he was furious that it didn't. The Shield, WWE, leaving WWE. It's just John Moxley. Like if you really kind of get, if you've seen stuff with John Moxley, I think this was the most John Moxley of any interview that we've done with him, and he's usually he thought that it's funny because it's just him, and he just goes the Bryan Danielson Eddie Kingston match, he says the greatest match in the history of wrestling he's ever seen, And, you know, he just will say that and just talk about, you know, performing in the pandemic and, you know, with the book, just like how he doesn't want to do a lot of media. And he's going like, I'm going to be asked all the same questions. I'm going to give the same answer over and over again. And it's like, thank God that we got him early, because this was his second interview. Jericho was the first, which hasn't aired yet. So actually ours is the first that aired. But it's just like, you just get his stream of conscious thoughts about, you know, I mean, the stress of moving, you know, and why he's moving. And, you know, the, you know, of every week flying from Vegas, and it's usually to the East Coast, back and forth. And, you know, just, and then on the flip side, you know, it's like the complaining. And then on the flip side going like, you know, I'm living a charmed life. I'm making money, you know, more money than I ever thought. I've got a beautiful wife. I've got a beautiful daughter. Life's great. And then he talks about, like, you know, trying to keep the wife happy, because it's like, that's a big part. And just like the effect his daughter had on him. And it's wild. It went a million different directions. I mean, it was just a very unique interview.
All of that's available at WrestlingObserver.com. Dave, appreciate you joining us each and every week here, and we'll talk to you next week at this same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. All right, we ran a bit long. Got to take a break. When we come back, a little turnbuckle trivia for you all about Halloween on this Halloween edition of the show. And then we will get into chatting with Boris Aguilar, who is, of course, one of our hosts of BAM and NXT Talk on our Patreon podcast network. And yeah, we're going to talk some Halloween Havoc, among other things. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't fear.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial, and it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they stay there!
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. And wow, do we have a doozy for you today. I mean, I know it's Halloween. Perhaps this one should be on Friday the 13th, though. There are three Jasons on this phone call right now. First, and one of them is a first timer, and that is Jason from Whitby, correct, Jason?
That is correct. I am a first timer.
And what finally got you into doing this? Because you, I know you're a long time listener. What finally had you say, I'm going to do some turnbuckle trivia?
You know what? Might as well try it.
Okay, I guess that's good enough. Well, I mean, your original opponent did not answer his phone, so I put up a post this afternoon saying, hey, who wants to play Turnbuckle Trivia? And was completely shocked at the person that answered, because I follow him on Facebook. I know he's on vacation, and he is, well, listen, he's also the former Canadian champion, the current Canadian champion of Turnbuckle Trivia, so you're not starting easy, but it is Mr. Christmas. Yes, Jason Christmas on the line. Jay from North Bay, he goes by. But today it's Jay from where?
It's Jay from the Maldives in the Indian Ocean.
He's like legit. If we had Zoom right now for video, this dude is in a lovely hut. You're like right on the Indian Ocean, right?
Yes, right in the middle of the ocean on an overwater hut.
And you're just wearing an NWO t-shirt on your vacation as well.
This is my night shirt.
You're
my bedtime shirt.
You're a ridiculous human, Jason Christmas. So it's all three Jasons. So it's not an easy task, Jason Perrier, but let's see if you can dethrone this gentleman here to start you off.
I'll give him my best.
All right, let's get into it. Hey, guys.
I'm feeling very charitable because I'm on vacation, and I've been out of the loop. So I'm on island time.
You're on island time. All right. Well, let's see what we can do here. Jason P. Is going to be player one. So Jason from Whitby, player one. Jay from the Maldives, player two on the show today. Jason from Toronto hosting for all of you. So let's get into it. Hey, guys, it's Halloween. You know I had to do it. Halloween wrestling trivia, sort of, kind of. Let's kick things off with Jason from Whitby. And Jason, your first question is, previous to his run in WWE, what name did The Undertaker go by in WCW in 1989-1990?
Oh my gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Something Mark, I know.
Yes, but I can't give you that. It is, of course, Mean Mark Callis, his name there. All right, for Jason from the Maldives, formerly of North Bay, we all remember that Kane was also Dr. Isaac Yankum in WWE, but between the dentist and the dead man's brother, what character did he play in WWE in 1996?
It was a very bad idea. It was Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
You got it. He was the fake Diesel. Yes, indeed. All right, back to you, Jason from Whitby. Clowns are very popular around Halloween. Who is the first person to put on the face paint and play Doink the Clown in WWE?
Man, I am not doing good today. I have no idea.
You have no idea. That would be...
No. Well, I do have an idea. I just can't think of the name.
Matt Bourne was the first of the many doinks. Back to you, Jason from the Maldives. The Boogeyman was first discovered on WWE Tough Enough, which he lied about his age. We all remember that. But hey, what's his real name?
I have no idea. Is it like Ray something?
It is not. It is Marty Wright. Marty Wright competed on Tough Enough and then became the Boogeyman. He's coming to get you. Jason from Whitby, your question is next. NXT performer Dexter Loomis clearly took his last name from Dr. Samuel Loomis, a main protagonist in what series of horror films? We're taking a deep dive on this one, Jason.
Yeah. Halloween.
That's correct. Dr. Samuel Loomis was in the Halloween movie series. Okay, now I had to follow that up with a pop culture question for you, Jason from the Maldives. Dexter Loomis, sticking with him, would clearly take his first name from the popular TV series Dexter. Who plays Dexter?
Can I ask my wife? She's like sitting right
beside. Get out of here. It's all you, buddy.
She loves.
It's all you.
I don't know.
It is Michael C. Hall that plays. While we get outside of wrestling, and it becomes really tough here for these guys. All right, back to you. Here we go. Jason from Whitby. Who served as the host of last year's NXT Halloween Havoc? Remember this one?
Yes.
Buzzed out time-wise, Jay. Yeah. Sorry, I got to buzz you out. Shotzi Blackheart. That's right. The recently heel-turned Shotzi Blackheart, for no apparent reason on SmackDown, was the host of last year's show. All right, Jay from the Maldives, here we go. In the main event of last year's Halloween Havoc, who did Io Shirai defeat to retain her NXT championship in the TLC match?
Io Shirai beat...
Uh-oh.
I don't
buzzed out on Candice LeRae. Oh, my goodness. Oh. All right. So with that in mind, it's 1-1. We've come down to the last question for each of you, and we're going old school. I know you're both longtime fans, so with that in mind, Jason from Whitby, previous to 2020, the last Halloween Havoc took place in WCW on October 29th, 2000. The main event featured current WWE performer Goldberg in a handicap match against what tag team that Dan Lavransky both had reasons to love and hate? Nothing?
Don't know.
The correct answer is Chronic. Love the name for all that works around it and does not care for the performers. One of his worst tag teams of all time. Jason, for the win here on your vacation, as crazy as it was, that handicap match was the main event of Halloween Havoc 2000. The second to last match was for the WCW title. Name one of the two people in that match. You know, just flashback 20 years for me.
Sting.
Incorrect. Got to figure that was right at the end of WCW, which means Booker T defeated Scott Steiner in that match.
Oh, wow.
We go to a tiebreaker, and we're going to play closest to without going over here because you are both on the line at the same time. Closest to without going over unless you both go over. Jason from the Maldives, you will go first. Then we will go to Jason from Whitby. And here is your question. What was the reported attendance of WCW Halloween Havoc 2000? So that last Halloween Havoc, the reported attendance, Jay of the Maldives. Take a guess.
11,000.
11,000. And Jason from Whitby, your guess. Closest to without going over unless you both go over.
I'm going to say 16,000.
16,000. Guys, I need you to remember that this was the end of WCW. It was at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, 7,582. By the skin of his teeth, he's on vacation. Clearly, so is his trivia brain, because this is a gentleman that did really well last year, only got one correct, but Jay from the Maldives. This is like a hockey tie when you go into overtime and it doesn't fully count as a win or a loss. Anyhow, my friend.
Hey, a win is a win. I'll take it.
Well, you got it, and you got yourself a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Maybe it can be a new night shirt so you can put that NWO shirt to bed. We shall see. Thank you, gentlemen, both for playing. It was nice to have the Jason trifecta happening. A first on Turnbuckle Trivia. Of course, if you want to play Turnbuckle Trivia and get in before the tournament happens, then you should sign up right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Then you'll get all of the podcasts as well, including this gentleman's two podcasts per week, meaning my next guest will be Boris Aguilar. He is the host of NXT Talk, and he is also the host of BAM each week, and we will talk Halloween Havoc on our Halloween edition of Sunday Night's Main Event. This is Halloween, this is Halloween.
I'm Andy Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Welcome back. It is Sunday night's main event, our final segment here, but a good chunk of the show today with one of our main hosts on all of our podcast shows. Boris Aguilar is here, the host of BAM each week, and along with that, the host of NXT Talk. And that will primarily be the focus here, Boris, because, you know, it's not a pay-per-view, Halloween Havoc, but it was a special show for the NXT 2.0 brand.
Yep, it was their first major show since the relaunch, NXT 2.0. And it's really interesting. It was cool to that they're continuing this tradition. The last time we spoke at the relaunch, we were wondering if they were going to continue with this just because, you know, it was a Triple H thing, right? So they could just completely wipe everything out, but they didn't. And I'm happy they didn't because overall the show is strong.
So with that in mind, though, I mean, let's just start at the top and then work our way back. Bron Breakker doesn't win. To me, I think we had talked about it before, just going, well, he's got that title. Tommaso Ciampa put out the pasture, blah, 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 blah. How shocked were you when that didn't happen?
Oh, I was super, super, super shocked. Like, out of all the belts, I thought we were going to get a complete clean sweep. But the one that I was, like, guaranteed that would be changing hands actually didn't change hands. And I'm actually super shocked about that. You know, especially, you know, now that we're talking about this new generation, this is all developmental, out with the old, literally. You know, I was very shocked with this, but at the same time, who better to kind of be the leader and the mentor to all of these young guys than a Tommaso Ciampa?
Yeah, it's so this Meltzer brought up the point of it's better to have the fans want this guy to win before he actually wins. And that is kind of the thought process of Ciampa not losing right away to Bron Breakker before the fans are ready.
Yeah, that to me, that makes sense also. You know, WWE is very notorious at just doing stuff that puzzles fans. So, you know, maybe this is the start of them actually paying attention, actually having, you know, the beat to the drum, actually having their ears on the floor. You know, I can say so many more, but I'll stop there. And listening to the fans and seeing what we actually want, right? And rather than telling us what we want, rather than forcing Bron Breakker with two Ks to our throats.
Bron Breakker, two Ks, and no Steiner involved, except I will give them kudos, aside from the fact that, you know, they won't name this guy Rex Steiner, which I think would have been a pretty cool name. All the stuff with Chucky was, I talk all the time about, we've watched wrestling for so long, and there's the little Easter eggs that they throw in that are rewarding for the longtime fans. And the fact that they put Bron Breakker and Chucky in the same room and talked about him playing with dolls, which is clearly a reference to Rick Steiner and Chucky way back in WCW, I was like, thank you. Thank you for rewarding me for watching these products for 20 years.
It was so minor, and the new fans could appreciate it because it was what it was. It was an interaction with a doll. But like you said, us fans who have been watching for so many years, it's just that little thing that kind of made it nice and special. And it's like, okay, all right, NXT 2.0 isn't the end of, like, you know, the era of actually wanting to give us good stuff.
Let's talk about the Toxic Avengers, or Toxic Attraction, like whatever you want to call them. So they have all the titles now. I like when a faction goes in with nothing and a faction walks out with everything, and vice versa. I always wanted, like, Undisputed Era to go in with all the gold, and then after a pay-per-view have none of the gold, and that is what seeds them to break up. Obviously, that never came to fruition. The Toxic Attraction, though, I don't know if any of them are ready to have these titles.
Yeah, I call them three non-blondes, and I do agree that, like, it is very fast. Very fast. I'm shocked at how quick they gave them the belts, but at the same time, you know what? Let's capitalize why they are hot. Let's capitalize why people are talking about them. Let's capitalize while people actually care about them in developmental, because we don't know how long people are going to be sticking around developmental. So for me, if it makes sense, let's just pull the trigger and do it.
And they did. And the one thing that I did take out of this, though, is Raquel Gonzalez in that main event being beaten, and you do have Dakota Kai coming back as well. Raquel Gonzalez seems like she's been repackaged as well, and I don't think it's in a way that benefits her. Like, I was on the Raquel train. Like, this woman has improved so much since we first saw her, and she doesn't seem like the killer that she once was.
Agreed. Now, there were, I did watch or see reports that she was involved in a dark match before SmackDown. Oh. So I have a feeling this new Raquel Gonzalez we're seeing is the Raquel we're going to be seeing on the main roster. The Big Mama Cool, the American Badass, riding, you know, motorcycle down to the ring. I think this is the Raquel we're going to be seeing on the main roster. And I'm not a fan. Like, this killer, you know, beast that she was earlier, this Amazon that can take anyone down, that's the Raquel I appreciate it. That's the Raquel I liked in the ring. But this new one, I don't know, she seems iffy. It seems very, like, main roster, and I'm not really digging it at all.
Yeah, I don't either, but maybe that's also because I enjoyed her previous character so much before this one. Do you like Dakota Kai coming back? To me, you know, you talked about how maybe earlier this is WWE listening to us, and I think you're kind of getting ahead of yourself there, honestly, because this is real WWE creeping its way into NXT, where we've seen this program already, and now we're seeing this program again, and that is cliche WWE and how they work.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, yeah, you're right. But here's the thing. I kind of made this joke earlier. Maybe Vince wanted Raquel Gonzalez all along, but he just thought Raquel was the good Kai. So that's why she was doing these all these dark matches. But, you know, for me, you know, maybe they can get a good story out of, you know, you beat me and I'm going to get you out of NXT. And this is the segue into Raquel going to the main roster. And I'm okay with that. If Dakota Kai is going to be better booked in NXT, I would feel a lot better her staying in NXT. You know, there's so many people that we can say the same thing about, but I feel like a raw talent like a Dakota Kai without someone like a Candice LeRae sticking around would be really good to benefit. Like, you know, the Gigi Dolans and not even her. It's more some of the other younger like JC Janes and whatnot.
Boris Aguilar on the line. He is, of course, the host of NXT Talk. We're talking about NXT Halloween Havoc on Sunday night's main event, which happened this past Tuesday. We have new tag champs, Imperium. To me, the whole tag division kind of lackluster at this point.
Yep. The whole tag division, especially because like we were awarded with such a great division for so long, you know, especially when the Undisputed Era was there, you know, you can always count on an amazing tag team match, but now it just seems lacking. But when you look at the roster, it's really not, because you have, you know, Kyle O'Reilly and Vaughn Beverly brother, whatever. You also have the Grizzled Young Veterans. You know, there are teams out there, but they're just not using anyone. But it's just the timing to me is also interesting because, you know, we have been seeing more reports coming up about the hate that MSK is getting at the Performance Center and the reasons behind it. So maybe this is just a way of, you know, getting the belts off them, taking them off TV for a couple weeks and bringing them back as heels. That's what I think they should do.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. All right.
Embrace the hate.
What's that?
I said embrace the hate.
Embrace the hate. Yeah, people should definitely do that when they're in the world of wrestling. Let's talk about someone beyond Halloween Havoc here, but someone who was the host of Halloween Havoc last year, and that is Shotzi Blackheart. Now, she has found her way up to the main roster, a stop-and-start type thing, originally paired with Tegan Knox, now no longer with Knox. Now, somehow, some way, the woman who drives a tank, clearly a gimmick that kids are going to love, is now a heel after SmackDown.
Yep. Now, Sasha was a face? That's my first question.
Oh, Boris. Oh, we are going to be completely onside for this because that woman should never, ever be a face. She's the second most dislikable person on the female side of the company, aside from Charlotte.
Exactly. So the fact that they were telegraphing to us that Sasha was a face. Hence, therefore, when Shotzi Blackheart beat her up, now she is a heel. What? Someone with raw charisma. How many times on this show, on our podcast, on the network, do we talk about WWE just not understanding when you have someone who is like a actual face, someone that people can get along, someone with a gimmick that the children are going to like, someone who people actually like, and they turn them heel? Like, we saw this with Toni Storm. We're seeing this with Shotzi Blackheart. We saw this with Bayley to a certain extent, but at the same time, she kind of needed like a change.
Yeah.
But we constantly see this. Why? And then they struggle to find actual faces. So to me, it just makes sense. You're just like shooting yourself in the foot. It's dumb. Now, I do want to see what they do next. Next week on SmackDown, if Shotzi Blackheart doesn't burn that tank, I'm going to be angry.
That's a great, you're right, because this is going to be a scenario like we're already seeing on Raw, and we're seeing it with Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch comes back, the crowd wants to love her, she immediately turns and is now a heel, but she comes out and the crowd cheers, and then she has to try to turn herself heel every time she's out there, but the crowd doesn't boo, they just stay quiet because they're confused. That parallel will be on SmackDown now with Shotzi. Shotzi will roll out in the tank, jump onto the top ropes, do the big yell that she does, the crowd will cheer, and then she'll do her best to turn herself, and I don't believe that Shotzi, even though she's charismatic, has the mic skills of Becky Lynch to even get anywhere near what Becky can do. And she doesn't do it all that well to begin with because they're not giving the crowd what they want. You have so few baby faces that connect with your audience. And I would argue Shotzi was one of them. She had the crowd behind them. She had the kids behind them. It's just such a terrible decision yet again.
Yeah, I completely take back what I said about WWE actually listening to us now, the further we get into this chat. But yeah, it just, to me, it just makes no sense. It's weird. It's dumb. And not only does, you know, Shotzi not have the natural ability to turn herself into a heel week over week, she's a rookie in the main roster, right? Like, we don't know, like, the nerves and that she has coming out each and every week now performing on Fox on that national level, right? So she might just not be able to turn herself into a heel. I can see her, like, honestly, continuing these face tactics and then the crowd, like you said, being confused and not doing anything and her not getting a reaction. And then she's like, SOL.
Not a good scenario, but a scenario that we continually see repeat itself because that's what WWE does, Boris. They repeat.
Yep.
They just repeat matches and mistakes. More is more and many mistakes. WWE, they might as well turn those W's upside down. Listen, we are done for this week on the radio program. However, for those of you listening on the Patreon, we've got a whole nother segment. Boris and I are going to dig into AEW Dynamite and talk about the ROH situation that has transpired this week as well. So all of that is to come for patrons. For those of you that are the podcast freeloaders, you should subscribe. And to those of you on the radio, we will talk to you again next week. Same time, same place. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, where Canada's wrestling radio show. And don't you dare miss it. We'll be right back.